Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the 10 o'clock Haymaker.
Vern, I'm almost, I almost whipped it out, man.
What?
I almost whipped out the show stamp of approval because I got a feeling about Tyreek Hill. I got a special feeling about Tyreek Hill
in
Monday
night.
When
you do this. That's Ron the Show Hughley. I'm Josh Vern, your show and Vern. Brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
Oh, I got a special feeling.
Well, then say it.
But I ain't going to use it. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little gun shy on the show stamp. We have agreed to move it to 6 and 10 because it was official Monday night with Russell Wilson's performance. There's no way Pat Mahomes is going to win the MVP. So we have moved it to 6 and 10.
Congratulations. You're the Detroit Lions.
No, I'm not that bad. I'm the Jets. But that's all right. We're climbing. I think Tyreek's going to have a monster game on Monday. It is set up for him. If you remember on Monday earlier this week, Vern, I said, I can only imagine what that plane ride home was for Tyreek Hill. If Tyreek Hill is at least the football player that I believe him to be, and I believe him to be, Vern, a guy that is motivated about being the best, right? He is motivated about being the best receiver in the National Football League, I think, whether he gets paid or not. Like, I think he really does love football. And I think he is motivated to doing that. And great players that are generally motivated like that, when they have a game where they've dropped three balls like he did, one of them a touchdown pass, and one was a tough play, but you're a great player like he is who can go up and make spectacular catches like the touchdown pass he made in his first game back against the Texans on the first possession, you feel like you go up both hands on the ball to end the game really with a touchdown. You gotta make that catch. And not to mention the offensive pass interference penalty that he got that held Andy Reid, stopped him on his way to the sideline to talk to him about how ridiculous that play was. I bet he flew home, even with 11 catches, a touchdown, and 150-plus, upset with his game, and he's going to take it out on the Chargers. And there are so many reasons, Vern, of why, first off, Serta has this right. As he's talked about the Chargers secondary, they are not what you thought they were or what they have been in years past. Casey Hayward, who Tyreek has burned repeatedly when he's at his best, has been worse. Derwin James is not back yet. They have a chance. He has a chance to do a number on the Chargers.
I feel like it's going to be a spicy day. I'd show it, Vern.
Oh, I'm spicy as hell, baby. Like, right? Is Wendy somewhere to want to drop off a spicy chicken sandwich?
We'll take it. You know where to find us out here.
Nah, man, don't nobody do that, dog. Just people from Wendy's. Slide that ranch in there, that honey mustard.
So what are you saying? Because are you just making the point that Tyreek is great and he should look great again on Monday night? Because you're never going to go broke betting on Tyreek Hill.
It is going to be spicy today because you're not listening. I'm telling you, I said off of his last game, you know players around this league. You've been around great players. You've worked in this business for 33 years.
He went 11 catches, 157 in a touch. What the hell is he going to do then?
Who is Hughley? But you know when players, great players, have mistakes like that, because you agree with me Monday, unless you didn't change your mind that fast. You agree with me Monday that he's not happy with his performance. And I think he's got a chance to go over two bills. I think he's got a chance to go. Oh yeah, don't look at me like that. I think he's got a chance.
Of course, he has a chance. He came 43 yards away from doing it last Sunday. 60 yards away from doing it.
Oh, so two bills is just what he does. Is that just what he does?
Well, you're not saying he's going to. You open up the show. Oh, man, I'm feeling like so putting the show stamp of approval on it, but I don't want to do it. He could.
I'm not
falling for
it. Well,
man, yeah, I could sit here and be like, hey, well, Patrick Mahomes could throw for 550. I'm not saying he will, but he could.
Is this where you are?
Well, this isn't who you are, man. Say it.
Say it. You're trying to bait me today. Why? Don't look away and then do that. I want to give another reason why I think Tyreek Hill, we could maybe have two Bills, 250 in front of us.
Okay.
And a huge game. I feel like
now we got something.
A huge day. What,
250.
All right, what did you say at the start of the year? This could be it. I thought you were crazy as hell. Not crazy. But I didn't think you were going to be right. You said, I think Tyreek's going to break a record. What's the single season reception yards record for the Chiefs? Somebody get that for me. Ryan, you got it. What's the single season reception yard?
For receiving the yards in a game?
We don't have receiving yards. That's all I'm trying to
309
say.
309 yards.
Okay.
He's making that up?
He's got to be making that up. Do you have a name of a – was it J.J. Burton?
Ryan.
Was it Sean LaChapelle? Was it Lake Dawson? Did he have a big one?
Stephon Page.
Okay, he's actually looking at a screen.
1985.
He doesn't just have Stephon Page.
Had 309 yards in a single game. That was the NFL record for a few years before broken.
Okay, so 309 is a bit aggressive.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe he won't break that record. But he's going to have – an enormous game. Another one. This altitude and pace and stamina. As Andy Reid said, this guy, his nickname really doesn't fit him as the cheetah. He is really somebody who continues to have more energy and more stamina than everybody else. Probably the best conditioned athlete out there. I'll go an NBA analogy. Oh, and don't throw this in the trash because this is right down your heart. There was nobody out on the court that had more stamina and better condition than Richard Hamilton, and that's how...
Come on, Ron. You can't make a Rip Hamilton comp in Kansas City.
Come on. And that's how...
Rip Hamilton?
You remember, nobody was more conditioned than Rip. He would wear you down in the fourth. In this altitude in Mexico City, Tyreek Hill will be more conditioned than everybody else. In the game, he is going to jump out there. I'm telling you, man, I get the feeling he's pissed off from his game last week and the mistakes he made last week. Tyreek Hill... I thought maybe 230 or something was the record, but 309. Wow, what a day, Stephon Page. That is aggressive and never going to be broken. But he two Bills, 250, I'm telling you. Casey Hayward's not ready for this.
576-7610 is our phone number. You can have the last word, 913-576-7610. I think this is the part of the show where we have to do what everyone in sports radio is doing today and act like we're appalled and freaked out with what happened. Miles Garrett and Mason Rudolph.
What do you mean act?
Well, we're all outraged, right? We're all outraged that professional athletes fought. He swung a helmet at another football player.
Apparently helmets weigh more than bricks.
What? What do you guys think you're watching? Out there every Sunday. You're watching one car crash after another. The things that happen that people watching don't know at the bottom of these piles. Do you remember Greg Williams and what he said about Brett Favre and taking the head off the snake? You remember Ndamukong Suh stomping on a Packers offensive lineman, Albert Haynesworth, Fontez Perfect. This is not just football. This is professional sports. We, every single summer, have a conversation about some baseball player hurling a baseball 90-some miles per hour at another human being's head, and then that human being taking off his helmet and throwing it at another human being, man. I'm not going to act outraged. This is entertainment.
Last night was entertainment.
Yes.
Last night is what we always see. That's just the game.
I didn't say that.
Taking helmets off and binging players without it. Come on, Vern.
No, but let's not act as if, oh my goodness, this, I don't even, how am I going to tell my children?
Nobody
what happened?
Who the hell
that's the pearl clutching that so many people are doing today. The, oh my goodness.
No, it's not.
And this is violence each and every Sunday for 10 straight hours, and we're glued to it.
It's violence,
not
and it is a
like
tough
we're
sport.
All appalled by it.
It is a tough sport, but what he did is completely different than any – like, what
right,
he
but
did –
but we're the same animals watching – We're the same ones that cheer people lying motionless on the field. Let's calm down a little bit.
Does that happen every week? It was three guys laying motionless.
No, and neither does this.
There were three guys laying motionless on the field in multiple times in that game. Was that where people were doing cheering?
There was a Steeler player coming off the field with blood coming down his ear. That doesn't appall you?
Sure. Are you saying we would? But you can't see.
I'm just not going to make this out to be something that it's not.
But you can't see what Myles Garrett did on purpose, hitting him in the helmet, different than the guy playing football and someone getting hurt that way. You don't see it. It's all appalling. What Albert Haynesworth did was absolutely ridiculous. And you know what I say about baseball players and pitchers who throw at hitters? They should get 40, 50 games.
Well, then I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those that enjoy the fisticuffs in hockey or baseball, basketball, football. If you enjoy the game, this to me is just a manifestation of things that are always going on underneath the game.
I just cannot agree with you on that at all, Vern. This is not just a normalcy. That was out of I listened to almost every player or former players have never seen anything like that. And yes, it's right in the space of some of the nasty stuff that Vontaze Burfict has done, which I thought he should be set down for. Well, I had no problem with him getting kicked out this year. And Haynesworth is a great one you bring up with. That was absolutely across the line of everything. Hockey, I've told you, I think it's stupid as hell that they fight injury prone something could happen.
You're in the minority because the country loves this crap.
I don't think people love that.
They won't admit it, but they don't admit a lot of things that they love in this country.
I don't think people were like, ew. Yay, look at that. Get him, Miles. Here, take his off, Mason. You get him.
I can promise
Pearl
you.
Pearl clutching, is that what
I
you said? What am I going to tell my children?
I can promise you when that was happening, no one went, get this off my TV. This is atrocious. No, man, you were glued to that. If that game was still on your television when that happened, that got your eyeballs. That has you talking. For the league.
It has.
That
was good for the league.
Of course it was.
Joshua Lamont Bernier.
Where are we going? Who's leaving?
No, that's not.
Who's leaving?
I'm not. Just because football is king does not mean that's good for the league. And I'm telling you right now, parents and mothers, especially at home, seeing this today is not good for them
Wake up, mom. It's been going on for a while.
This is just adding to it again. That was not good for the league, sir. I swear to God, if you agree with him, I'm just going to slap myself six times. That was not good for the league.
It's not good for the league. I think what Myles Garrett did was wrong. But it's not like we don't see this in other sports. So I don't understand why, in the most violent of sports, we're all up in arms.
We see people in other sports hitting people in the head with helmets.
Pitchers throw 100-mile-per-hour pitches at people's faces all the time. And guys have had their faces exploded in baseball.
How many times? Listen, and I've said this. I think it is ridiculous that they do that, and they should make that a serious case. How many times have you seen a pitcher hit someone in the head on purpose?
How many times have you seen that happen last night?
Never.
Again.
It's across. I've never seen a pitcher hit someone on purpose in the head.
I don't buy that for a second. You send a message. You buzz the tower. If it hits him, it hits him.
I know.
That is the same as doing it on purpose.
I'm not saying it.
What's the difference?
I'm not saying there is a huge difference in intent. I'm saying he actually went and did it. He's comparing it to pitchers throwing the ball at hitters. He actually did it. I've seen guys get hit on accident. I don't think Kirby Puckett got hit on purpose in the head. I don't think that
if you're throwing up there, you're taking the risk of it happening. You're taking the risk of it hitting him in the head.
I agree with that.
That's doing it.
No, it's doing it, but it's still different than connecting and actually doing.
So
what
if he would have missed Mason Rudolph's head, you don't feel this way.
I still have the energy, but it is worse seeing him actually tick someone out.
I just don't get it confused when I'm watching every Sunday. I don't think I'm watching a bunch of guys that aren't playing on the edge. That's what it is. That's what it's been. Now, this is as safe as it's looked ever, but it's still going on because you can't play that game if you're not ready to absolutely go to war with another man.
It's, it,
you can't play that. No, there is an understanding in the NFL and football that people aren't going to be coming out and just drilling people with helmets off their heads. That is something. I agree that it doesn't happen often,
but
ever, except for yesterday with Myles Garrett.
It doesn't happen often, but a lot of brutal things happen often in that game.
I'm not going to say what is embarrassing when
a lot of things should be scaring people away from the sport.
Yeah, we saw what Juju Smith-Schuster got taken out in the game. There were a lot of hits in that game. Those are different than what Myles Garrett did. And I think you're talking to this small minority of people. Why do I care if millionaires get hurt?
I don't care about how much money they have, but I don't care about football players getting hurt. I mean, you know what you're doing out there. I mean, I sympathize for the human being, but it's 2019, we're not going to be blindsided anymore by what's transpiring, not only on football fields, but on the ice in hockey, soccer pitches as well. I mean, the science has been out there. I'm not going to act surprised that a violent sport caused something violent to happen. Should be assumed by now. Protein House, eat with a purpose. Text line 69306.
Other lines open.
And you, of course, can have the last word, 913-576-769.
Coming up in a little bit, another person that we have to talk to today, Pete Sweeney, he and others like Lewis Riddick, who's having a really rough prediction year. I saw them, and I'll be the bad guy here, I guess, Vern. Guys, the Pat Mahomes MVP thing is over. Not just over. I saw Lewis Riddick yesterday and Pete today saying, oh, yeah, man, watch in 2 weeks, Pat's going to be right there in it. Stop it, Pete. It's over. Like, the Pat Mahomes, not to say that he's still not the best quarterback in football, but he's not going to win the MVP this year. It's over. And not should he not just win the MVP, Vern. I don't think he deserves, and I'm going to use that word deserves, I don't think he deserves to be in the top five. I don't think with the games he's missed, his team having the 10th best record in the National Football League, he should be over Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Christian McCaffrey, or Aaron Rodgers, to be honest. And that's just real. And I'm sure many of you, I saw people biting back at me when I responded to old Lou Riddick, who won't come on our show. He shouldn't be a top five candidate right now. I mean, he's a great player, but your team is 6-4. Like, you just, like, the rules of the game is, oh, man, he just lost to Ryan Tannehill. It's over. That's why we've gone to 6-10, which shows stamp of approval, because that's not happening.
Quick shout out to the guy on the text line saying Mason Rudolph just needs a tighter chin strap.
That's it.
I like that.
That's it.
How about that? If every game you tune in, there's someone taking off their helmet and bludgeoning someone, yeah, that's not good for the game, but the game will regulate this. Just like every time you go to a baseball game, you don't see a pitcher hit a batter in the head. I agree, if it happened every game, that would be bad for baseball and this would be bad for football. But it's such a rare occurrence. It's such the ugly underbelly of the sport. Seeing it on occasion isn't shocking nor disturbing. Protein House, eat with a purpose. Text line 69306.
Listener 15, it's the most valuable player, not team. All right, you can live in whatever world you want to, but you're not going to have the 10th best record in the league and not have and win the MVP. Listen, when there are other candidates in front of you who have been.
Right now, I didn't read Pete's article, but I have to believe that he was talking about by the end of the season. Because right now, you're right. Pat doesn't belong with Russ, Deshaun, Christian McCaffrey, Aaron Rodgers, and Lamar Jackson. Those guys have been there every single game. Pat has been banged up and bad in two, and then just absent in two games as well.
Yeah, his national TV game was against the Colts. Like, that was the game that they'll see and remember against the Colts. All right, you get the last word. Steve in Orlando, go ahead, man. You get the last word. Go ahead, Steve.
All right, number one, they're just modern-day gladiators. I don't understand this crap. I'm Scott Van Pelt. He's softer than the back of Oprah Winfrey's arms. This is absolutely stupid. Who cares? In fact, if he would have crushed his skull once, I guarantee you, the ratings would have went up. That's what people want to see. That's why the UFC is a billion-dollar business. Number two, Tyreek Hill, I don't think he's going off for 200. They're going to figure something out with him. All the Chiefs need to do is win. They need to figure out a way to win. I don't care if they win 50 to 49. Who cares? As long as they win. Pat Mahomes, no, he's not the MVP. Either's Russell Wilson and either's Lamar Jackson.
Well, who the hell is?
Those guys. your boy down there running the rock at Carolina.
All right, Orlando Steve. All right, Orlando Steve. I got you. Orlando Steve, who is calling every day, as I've said. That is Orlando Steve, who nobody's doing anything. Modern-day gladiators. Yep.
Listener, R22 says, guys, somebody needs to hit Pete Sweeney with a helmet.
I wouldn't mind. I'm kidding. Kyle and Lawrence, go ahead. You get the last word.
Mason Rudolph is a punk for what he did. He got tackled. He tried to attack Garrett. He tried ripping his helmet off. He cleated him in the crotch. He retaliated by ripping his helmet off. As he's being pushed away,
he ripped it off.
Back for more. Hey, if you're not going to be a punk, don't play a punk game. That's all I'm saying.
If you're not going to be a punk,
tell him, Kyle.
Get him, Kyle. Expect to get hit in the head by helmets. No, the punk out there is Myles Garrett, at least in that time frame. I'm not saying Myles is a living punk, but the punk move was by Myles Garrett. Newsflash.
Serta's newsflash.
Carmelo Anthony, who's been out of the NBA for over a year, will sign a non-guaranteed deal with the Portland Trail Blazers. Blazers have tried at different times in the past to add Anthony and made an attempt to acquire him when he was with the New York Knicks.
Good for him, man. I am happy for Carmelo. I really am. I don't know how he fits with that team.
Why are you happy for him?
Because, man, happy for him to get in there one more time, man.
You think he was struggling? You really worried about Melo?
Mentally, I think he needed basketball. Everything that's happening with La, they were working it out again, and I believe he messed up again.
I was surprised to see how much it meant to Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't tweet about non-Chiefs or Texas Tech things very often, but as soon as the Carmelo Anthony to Portland news came out, he quote tweeted it with, "Let's go, man." 3 exclamation points. I didn't take Patrick Mahomes to be a mellow
young,
guy.
Vern, young, like people in our era or younger, love Carmelo more than I think people
Pat's
remember.
Pat's not in our era, man.
I said and below.
He's a dozen years
I
younger
said,
than us.
I said and below. Okay?
I know, but.
I said and below.
Just don't
he's
try
11,
to act like
he's
we're
11.
This...
He's 11 years younger than I am.
Okay. Then, sure. I'll give you that.
He is.
Okay.
He's 11 years younger than I am.
Well,
I just said
way,
a lot of
we're
people
not
love
in the
Carmelo.
Same class as
okay,
Patrick
man.
Mahomes.
What are you doing here, man?
I thought people that young, just use the proper term, people that young,
I'm
I thought
young.
LeBron and D-Wade would be their guy, more so than Carmelo Anthony.
I'm here. I'm in
you're
his.
So young.
We're both. Are we both millennials? Yes. Thank you. All right, coming up, I feel like I want to issue an apology on air. Because I absolutely destroyed Pete Sweeney the other day. And he's, now I got to give him credit for coming in to get some more of this action. But Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, will join us for the next half hour coming up next.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com. Back to Show and Burn. 25 straight minutes of sports entertainment starts now.
Oh, welcome back to a spicy Friday on Show and Burn.
Just had a spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A. Tots on the set.
And Pete,
guess who's here, everybody?
And Pete Sweeney, who never allows you to get an introduction off at all. Can't ever say who he is. He thinks everyone knows
he sure
who
does,
he is.
Man.
And you can't say his name. That is the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead.
Feels good.
Pride Radio, Pete Sweeney. I want to just, first, before we get started today, Pete, thank you for coming in. I've never
here.
Thought this about you, but you're showing big hog today. After I absolutely destroyed you the other day at the Community Blood Center, for you to come back and sit in here and get some more.
Very quick. You made Bink cry a little bit.
I know, and I had to get Binkley again this morning on Fesco in the Morning, the Chiefs Roundtable, which is each and every Friday.
But chirruping. But no, thank you for coming in, Pete. Had a good time celebrating your birthday last week.
It was a
really
good,
enjoyed
me, you, and Serta.
Enjoyed you. Yep. Because Vern didn't come, but
I wasn't invited.
When's the last time you had a Jägerbomb?
Stay at home,
shot?
Josh. That's
when's the last time you had a Jägerbomb?
Stay at home, Josh.
Huh? Got you a Jägerbomb. When's the last time you had that? Huh?
Friday with you.
Oh, man. Friday we with have you. Fun, don't we?
Shock by that. All right, I wake up this morning,
got
Pete.
Torn up.
I wake up this morning. Thanks. Thanks, sir. I wake up this morning, Pete, and I see you talking about, hey, in 2 weeks, we could be talking about Pat back into the MVP race.
Heck yeah.
Stop. It's over, man.
No.
Come on, man. It's over. Like, right now, where would you have him right now? That's a good test, because Vern said, well, let's hear Pete out and see what he's talking about down the line. Where do you have him rated in the MVP race right now?
I mean, we're talking about including the next six games when I say something like that, but right now you have to give it to probably Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson. For me, I like Christian McCaffrey a little bit better, and then I think Patrick Mahomes is right there with Watson and Rodgers. So in this pseudo tie for fourth, I would say.
Yeah, I don't see how he could be above any of the five of them for me, especially right now. And for what he would have to do is what we said last week. Man, if he runs the table, then they lost to the Titans. Like, I just think right now he's 6-4. He's got the 10th best record in the league, 5th best record in the conference. Lost head-to-head with Watson, which I think hurts him in that regard.
Sure.
And we all knew, for you to win back-to-back MVPs, it's only been done like twice in the last 30 years by Manning and Favre. Like, you have to really be special to the year before. The games he's missed, and there's really no chance for him to push those numbers, and those other candidates that you named are worthy of it. I think it's just, it's over. Lewis Riddick said he's out of control, that he's not in the top three right now. It's dumb is what he said, and I totally disagree with that.
Right now he has 18 passing touchdowns, right? So that's tied for third. Big, big tie there with a couple quarterbacks. Matt Stafford's in second with 19. That's not going to last. So you could say, okay, he's right there at second. Russell Wilson's 5 touchdowns ahead. Patrick Mahomes needs one big week. He had 2 six touchdown games last year. If he has another big week like that where he just goes on an absolute tear, then all of a sudden that makes up for one game. And then at the end of the year, if his numbers are close or comparable, the two less games may help him, because people may say, well, he missed 2 games and he's only 1 touchdown behind Russell Wilson. He's going to be right there.
What's his team record got to be, though? Because you know team matters.
Sure. I would say that you really can't afford more than one more loss, and it would have to be the Patriots. If he wins every other game, I think there's a chance.
That can't be the loss. If he loses on national TV to the Patriots, that can't be the loss. Like, you can't have me on my national TV games I've seen you look as bad as the Chiefs offense and he did against the Colts and lose to the Patriots.
That's fair. I mean, that would be a big win in making the case for him to get back in the mix, for sure. You just asked me a question, so I'm answering it.
Yeah.
You know, he asked me a question, Brent. I'm answering.
Hey, you're telling me, man. I got to work with him every day.
Back out.
He is a little bit of a bully. I don't know if you noticed that.
Was that you that texted that in yesterday?
No.
It was that guy who, I don't know his name because Serta didn't type the right name up there. It's that guy who
Banana?
No. That's the thing. Serta doesn't even know that he typed the wrong name for both of those people.
Pete, will Eric Fisher and LDT play coming up on Monday night?
I tend to think so. Yesterday in the initial report, Mitch Schwartz was limited. I know it was this practice with no helmets, and they were only doing a few things, but there was a differentiation. Andy Reid, and this is always a tell, on the conference call on Monday, he was asked about whether or not the Chiefs would make an offensive line move, and he willingly and by himself said, we should have Larry and Big Fish back. And so that he's not going to do that if he doesn't think there's a good chance they're going to play. So I think they're back in the mix on Monday night in Mexico.
Do you feel good about Fisher coming back this week before the bye?
Yeah.
Even though it was supposed to be 4-6, he returns in 6, has another somewhat setback, and we haven't seen him in 3 weeks since he was supposed to return the last time.
Yeah, I think it's now or never at this point. Yeah.
I ask it because I do think this offensive line, we are really putting a lot of stock in the return of Eric Fisher, because if he doesn't get right, I think this offensive line not only can negate any threat of run, but also could leave Patrick Mahomes and that ankle primed for re-injury, which kills your chances of winning anything.
One thing about Fisher is he's not going to play hurt. I mean, he'll pull himself from the game. So at worst, he plays a few plays. It's another false start. Cam Irving goes back in, and then it's a lost season. I'm hoping that now that they had this false start already, they've kind of readdressed it. They've probably been extra careful this time. Maybe you won't find that. LDT seems like he's progressing and is tracking to be full 100% when he comes back. Interesting to see what the Chiefs do, because Andrew Wiley is an interesting player. Like, where does Cam Irving land in this mix?
Do you think the offensive line can derail the season? Because I was really surprised when Vern said that. Like, I don't. I think too much of Andy Reid, that whoever is out there, if they have a week, he can hide it. That seems to be one of his best attributes, is being able to protect and hide poor offensive line play.
I'll say no to an extent. If there is an egregious play that gets Pat Reid injured, then absolutely. And that is something that you worry about. But as far from a general standpoint of the Chiefs' offense can't operate because these guys are weak, I don't feel that way necessarily.
Yeah, I agree with you. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride. I feel like we may agree here. Vern is on the other side of this. But Monday night, to me, is a line in the sand. Mm-hmm. Monday night is like, I feel like I've made a lot of explanations, and hell, I'd even border on excuses of why the Chiefs are at 6-4 and why the Chiefs are in the situation that they are in terms of seeding and whatever. But if they cannot get it together to go and take care of the LA Chargers, to me, I feel like I have to put the Super Bowl contender stuff on the shelf. Like, I at that point, you're 6-5. Right, and the explanations or the excuses to me don't hold as much water. I think this is it, the line of the sand. Like, they're better than this football team.
Right.
Just about every single way. I think they got the best quarterback, the best coach, the best weapons, the best defensive player. They are better, and their backs are against the wall with the Raiders right behind them. If they cannot go and win this game, they don't have the toughness of a Super Bowl contender.
And I think they know that. Patrick Mahomes kind of alluded to that yesterday, and I would tend to agree. I don't know if this season would be over if you lose, but you do start to question, well, what is the identity of this football team? Are they just a lot worse than we thought? Patrick Mahomes is still very good. I mean, I thought last week was the best he's looked since week one, and he confirmed he felt as good. So now it's just the rest of the team stepping up. Like, why did it feel like the defense was more motivated when Matt Moore was in there? I know that was this crazy take from Skip Bayless, but it in the last game, you actually saw it again, where it just seemed like everyone was just waiting for Pat to bail them out again. They can't play like that. If they're going to be a Super Bowl team, they have to be a complete team, and I think you need to see that in LA, or I should say in Mexico. And if they can be that complete team, I don't think they have any problem with this game. It's just been such a question. There have been so many times this year where you've been like, okay, they have Patrick Mahomes, and you're going up against another quarterback where even they almost lost to Matt Stafford. You're going up against Jacoby Brissett, and they're finding ways to make it close or lose the football game. You can't just count on Pat. Other guys have to step up. Hopefully that happens on Monday night.
No question, one quarterback can't single-handedly win the Super Bowl, but I feel like you just did something that way too many people have done this week and act like when you said, and we saw it again against the Titans, them expecting Pat to pick everything up. That Titans game, in my opinion, wasn't similar to anything else we've seen since Patrick Mahomes became the quarterback. That was not only, you know, Tyreek and Sammy putting the ball on the ground, penalties, turnovers, shaky defense, not as aggressive Steve Spagnuolo, and maybe the worst special teams performance we've seen from a Chiefs team in years. That is, in my opinion, a D-minus effort. That's not likely to be repeated.
And I know it sounds crazy, but everything you just mentioned, really, if you look at it in a different way, Chiefs fans might be able to take comfort in. Look at all the things that had to go wrong for them to lose by 3 points. So those mistakes that you're mentioning, it's not really a talent thing. It's just mistakes that you got to clean up. Now we've been saying it week after week after week.
Uh-oh.
Are you going to finally see them put things together when they absolutely need to? Because you're tied right now with the Oakland Raiders in the loss column.
Right.
If you lose on Monday, I mean, you are really taking it out of your own hands. And the Raiders have a cake schedule except for you. So you need to know that going in. I think they will. I think Patrick Mahomes is the type of leader that he's not going to allow this team to lose on Monday night. I just don't think he will.
Yeah. I understand when you're covering it every single day, it gets tiresome pointing out the why. You want to make some big declarative statement. I know that's what Ron wants to do right now. Instead of looking at the two Matt Moore games, the banged up ankle games against the Titans and Colts, I just feel like let's stop acting as if 6-4, that record is indicative of what this current team is.
I mean, Big Josh, that's why you can take a step back. You are 162 games. You know it's a marathon, not a sprint. In some ways, the NFL season is just like that. And you're a baseball guy. I love that.
Quit trying to corner me, Pete. I'm just saying,
he can say that, right? And he got really, really mad when I said this earlier this week. But to me, as I posed to you, and I'll let you answer the question, if they lose to the Chargers, can you still consider them a Super Bowl contender? Because to me, all the stuff that you just talked, because you said it, but we've been saying it week after week after week, And Pat.
Are you going to describe how they lose? Or it's just some loss. They lost the game. I don't even know how, but they lost the game.
I have. They've lost in many different ways and had different teams. But if they lose the game on Monday in their last 19 games, they'd be 10-9. And I mean, and that's inclusive of a lot of things. The 4-0 start, the times that Pat was out, they're 10-9 in their last 19 games that they lose. Yeah. To the Chargers.
If they lose every game from here on out, Pete, they're 10-18.
That's true. That's good math by you.
I don't know if that's right.
I'll say this.
I don't think it is.
So the Chiefs have this game on Monday night, right? Yeah. We've been in the past where they are rolling into the playoffs. They've been on win streaks. I remember the 10-game win streak with Alex Smith. They've looked like one of the best teams in the NFL last year. And then you get disappointed, right? It always seems like Andy Reid, his team may peak too early. Well, the bright side is you don't have to really worry about it this year. The Chiefs still have to figure out themselves and get it together. I think everything is still right in front of them. The great part about it is things are correctable. And if you can get to a point where you're right there, even if you don't get a first seed, just get the home game. Win the division. And if you're playing your best football in December, wouldn't you take that than dominating all season and then getting shocked like we've seen in the past? Like, there is some bright side to this. I know it sounds crazy, but I've seen too many Chiefs teams with all these aspirations and playing okay enough football going into the playoff tournament, and then you're disappointed.
It's because 6-4 normally doesn't say Super Bowl contender. But all you need to do is look at last year compared to this year. Would you rather be the 9-1 Chiefs of 2018 or the 6-4 Chiefs of 2019? I think you choose the 6-4 2019 team because the offense should be just as good and the defense is improved. I'll take an improved defense with Patrick Mahomes. I'll take 6-4 over 9-1.
And my response to that has been, yo, I think they are very capable. That's why at 6-4, I'm still to a point of saying they're a Super Bowl contender. But if you get real down deep and look at things, some of the issues and some of those small issues are things that don't have anything to do with Mahomes. Like turning the ball over repeatedly and setting them up to score touchdowns doesn't have anything to do with Mahomes. And that's not a trait of a Super Bowl team. That's not a trait to just get penalties the way they do as Super Bowl team. So some of that don't have nothing to do with Pat.
The good thing is, like I said, I think just the mistakes are correctable. The bad thing is, and the most maddening and frustrating thing is, if you're a fan, is they've just repeated them in every disappointing loss this year. And you're like, well, when are they going to figure it out? We're 10 games in. Like, Spags likes to come up and says, you know, it's early here. We'll figure it out. The defense needs to play it. Well, we're in, you know, week 10, and he's walked that back in the last few weeks and starting to understand that. But at some point, you need to see consistent defense. Like, you can't just we've seen it. We've seen the evidence. You can't just win a football game with Pat. You can't. They need a complete team, and we have to see that in the last few weeks here.
Like I said, that you've covered the Chiefs for a while, Pete. That's not the first time you've seen Andy Reid make some odd timeouts and deal with the clock in a strange way.
The craziest end of a game that I remember was Alex Smith in New England, and they're down two scores, and they are just taking their time. And and that game, ever since then, Andy Reid, brilliant coach. That is it. You always question when it gets down to that final frame. It's like, is the moment too big in that situation?
That's not the first time, third and two or something like that, Andy's had a play call where people are like, what?
Right.
Blake Bell?
Right.
What? They're capable, but you can't also ignore that.
It could be too complex, too, of a mind. Like, Andy Reid, he prepares for other teams so diligently that he may be thinking, for example, oh, they know we're going to do this, so I'm going to go and do this, but they might do this, so I'm going to go and, you know what, screen to Blake Bell. Sometimes it's just like, well, let's just hand it off and just see what happens here. I think that's our best call.
Pete Sweeney, Arrowhead Pride, joining us here on Show and Vern. Do you find it strange that Frank Clark always seems to have a different talking point than everyone else on defense and in the coaching staff? He's always the only one saying what they, how they're soft or how they don't love tackling. Is that odd? Because I don't hear Tyron or any of the coaches or Spags or anyone else on defense endlessly question the toughness, except for the guy that at times is invisible out there.
Well, the Chiefs PR team, and they're great. They get their talking points to the players, and for the most part, they follow them to a T. Tyron Matthew and Frank Clark, two guys that they brought in that will just talk freely. And so you actually, I think, sometimes get that bleeding through of, yeah, we're struggling, we're soft, this is embarrassing. Like, normally,
Tyron's not down on the guys, it seems. Tyron's always, the best is yet to come, like, we need to stick with
it. And it sounds like more people are saying similar things that Tyron is saying.
A little bit more positive, but still, it is refreshing how honest these two guys are. Okay. And so, like,
that's, so you like hearing that from Frank?
I do.
Yeah,
It's just something rare. You know, Joe mentioned, I cover this team for five. It's just rare to hear legitimate disappointment because it's always rah, rah, here, follow this, say this, blah, blah, blah. Frank says, no, listen, we sucked. We're soft. It's pretty clear on TV. Like, at least he's admitting it. And then you say, okay, we'll do something about it now, Frank. And it seems like he wants to. I hope you see it on Monday Night Football.
Speaking of Frank and the defense, your expectations. What were your expectations coming into the season, and have they changed at all? Do you feel like the Chiefs defense needs to do something different than what you expected at the beginning of the season?
Well, I mean, I was the jackass who predicted they go undefeated.
You're still a jackass.
Well, I don't know about that. I think... What? You think I'm a jackass?
Yeah, just get to your point, Pete.
I lost my train of thought. I went from undefeated, obviously, to not when they got injured quite a bit. And so then things changed and evolved rather quickly. I think this is the defense that we expected, you know, when it comes to their ranking. And yes. So I, from an overall standpoint.
So you think it's more than the ranking? For you, it's deeper than the ranking.
Yeah. I mean, the defense to a certain degree, I think overall, should be good enough if Pat is clicking on all cylinders and you're not making mistakes, right? Because they're right where we wanted them.
And they've not failed at that at all this year when that has happened.
I think it would be good at a certain point where Pat can put up, like I said the other day, 33, 34 points and feel like, okay, we can win this football game. I don't think there's ever a certain point where Pat can breathe easy. Like, it's incredible that they got that win with Matt Moore. Like, that was incredible to me. But in that game, the defense stepped up, you know? And so I guess it's changed a little bit because I think the defense has shown me they can be better than we originally thought. And you only get that effort sometimes.
Because Sunday's game is the first time the Chiefs have ever needed more than 34 points to win a game. That's the most points the defense had given up.
You love this defense, man.
I don't love the defense. I just think, like, you have people, many people have forgotten what you thought they were going to be. I've said it. I said earlier this week, I am changing my expectation on the defense based on what I've seen from the offense and special teams.
Yeah, get a load of this.
I'm just saying that somewhere that's the only group that has exceeded my expectations. Do I believe they can get better against the run, especially seeing it here lately? Yes. And so I would say maybe that's the space where they need to improve just a tad.
You also, I mean, pretty clearly from the beginning of our conversation, you also forgot how good Pat is when he's healthy. It's incredible.
Well, he's amazing. Yeah.
So
it's not all on him, because the game-changing play was Williams fumbling the football for a touchdown, and that certainly went on.
Or endless special teams mistakes.
Those as well.
those as well.
Winchester admitted it. I mean, we'll give him a second. We'll give him a pass.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm tired of the offense-defense thing.
Right.
Special teams was the worst. Special teams is ranked 12th right now, and it's always top five under Dave Tobe. They have been the biggest letdown of the three facets of the team.
I'm a broken record. It's mistakes. It's correctable mistakes. Now, the problem is we don't know if they're going to correct them or not because they've shown us that sometimes they just don't, you know, and that's why the team is really, really underperforming right now.
All right, Pete Sweeney.
Pete, if you had to pick one chief to take his helmet off and hit Philip Rivers with the helmet, which chief are you picking?
That's got to be Clark, right? Yeah. It's got to be Frank Clark.
Oh, mine's Dustin Colquitt. Coming up, we thank you so much, Pete, for hanging in.
Show greats, 1:30.
They're not called show grades. It's the report card.
And you would know that if you were a part of the show and you're not. Thank you for not doing Power Hour again yesterday. All right, coming up, we're going to hook you up with some K-State West Virginia football tickets, right?
That's right.
Got that coming up as soon as we get back.
Four-pack with a parking pass.
Holy Toledo.
Huh?
Four-pack with a parking pass coming up.
All four of us.
Shut up. All right. We're hooking you up with K-State West Virginia football tickets, parking pass, four-pack as well. And I think this is probably our most interesting conversation of the day. You don't want to miss any of that coming up next.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.